Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives of families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. In last week's blog, I shared with you the 5 ways how to overcome the most challenging situations in intensive care if your loved one is critically ill. You can check out last week's blog by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's blog, I want to give you some very special insights, and I want to embark with you on the ultimate fast lane to peace of mind, control, power, and influence when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. If your loved one is critically ill in intensive care, and if you and your family are still struggling to come to terms with having your loved one critically ill in intensive care, you need to know that there is help out there. It's tough, I know. It's very challenging, and it's also a once-in-a-lifetime experience and situation having your loved one critically ill in intensive care. It's a situation and a challenge that you can't really afford of getting wrong. And that's exactly what we do at IntensiveCareHotline.com. We help you and your family to get this once-in-a-lifetime challenge right, no matter how challenging the situation is. On the other hand, intensive care professionals, whether doctors, nurses, physiotherapists or respiratory therapists, will usually tell you that if your loved one is critically ill in intensive care, that you need to be patient, that it's often one step at a time, and that it can be 2 steps forward and 1 step back. In any case, they are implicitly or explicitly implying that nothing happens fast in the intensive care environment. And I can probably vouch for intensive care being a slow environment to be in, especially if you are a critically ill patient or if you are family of a critically ill patient watching your critically ill loved one suffer. Intensive care, on the other hand, can be very fast-paced for health professionals working in the environment. However, for you and your family, things probably look like they're moving slowly. It's even worse if you are like 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care who have no peace of mind, no control, no power, and no influence. If you are like 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care, you are passive. You are intimidated by the intensive care team. You suck up to the intensive care team. You put them on a pedestal. You don't question. You don't do your own research. You don't want to rock the boat. And you let time just go by without you proactively seeking out a solution and become a master of your own destiny. In the meantime, the intensive care team is driving their own hidden agenda. They let what's happening behind the scenes in intensive care dictate and influence on how they position your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis to you and to your family. In the meantime, your fears, your frustrations, your stress levels, your overwhelming emotions, your pain, your anxiety, you being so vulnerable, and by you being so far outside of your comfort zone, is even more paralyzing to you and your family, so that you feel stuck in a corner without peace of mind, without control, without power, and without any influence. And the problem is that all around you, you see those 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care who have no peace of mind, no control, no power, and no influence. All around you, you see people who are not taking matters in their own hands. All around you, you see people who have no awareness that if your critically ill loved one is either very unstable and in a very critical condition, or is in a life-threatening situation, or is in intensive care for long-term treatments and long-term stays, or is having a severe or traumatic head or brain injury, or is threatened with an NFR, not for resuscitation, or DNR, do not resuscitate order, or is in a situation where the intensive care team suggests a withdrawal of treatment or a limitation of treatment as being, quote unquote, in the best interest of your critically ill loved one. Or your loved one may even be approaching their end of life in intensive care. In those situations, you need something distinctly different compared to the 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care who have no peace of mind, no control, no power, and no influence. You need to get a grip and a handle on things very quickly, because otherwise the intensive care team will continue to drive the bus, to run the show, and to call the shots, so to speak, without you even realizing what's happening. And more importantly, without you realizing what's happening behind the scenes in intensive care, because that's what will ultimately drive the positioning of the intensive care team, but of your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis. Now, imagine what's happening behind the scenes in intensive care is driving the positioning of your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis. The truth and the fact of the matter is that after more than 15 years intensive care nursing in 3 different countries, and after I have literally worked with thousands of critically ill patients and their families, I have seen far too many situations where the things that were happening behind the scenes in intensive care were the all-powerful driving force in how a critically ill patient's diagnosis and prognosis has been presented to families by the intensive care team. What do I mean by that? In order to dig really deep and explain this in detail to you, I have to quickly repeat myself here to really make this very clear to you. You need to remember that the minute your critically ill loved one is either very unstable and in a very critical condition, or is in a life-threatening situation, or is in intensive care for long-term treatments and long-term stays, or is having a severe or traumatic head or brain injury, or your loved one may be threatened with an NFR, not for resuscitation, or DNR, do not resuscitate order, or they may be in a situation where the intensive care team suggests a withdrawal of treatment or a limitation of treatment as being, quote unquote, in the best interest of your critically ill loved one, or your loved one may even be approaching their end of life in intensive care. In those situations, that's the minute when the intensive care team is changing their behavior. They are very guarded in their language. They know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, so that they can keep you and your family at arm's length, so to speak. The minute your critically ill loved one is in one of the aforementioned challenging and heartbreaking situations, the last thing the intensive care team wants is for you to have any peace of mind or any power, any control or any influence. The last thing the intensive care team wants for you during those challenging, difficult and heartbreaking situations is to be able to influence anything that's being discussed behind closed doors or behind the scenes in their meetings. You need to keep in mind at all times that intensive care nowadays is a multi-billion dollar per year industry. And keep in mind that what's happening behind the scenes in intensive care is all about the power play and the power struggles, the politics, the competing interests, the dynamics, the intrigue, and the psychology of the intensive care team. The things and the dynamics that are going on behind the scenes in intensive care are almost always influencing the way your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis is being presented to you by the intensive care team. The things that are happening behind the scenes in intensive care are always dictated by the financial interests of the intensive care team. For example, does the intensive care team think that by offering and then giving your critically ill loved one the best and full treatment supports their financial agenda in meeting their revenue or budget targets. Also, the massive bed management pressures in intensive care. For example, intensive care beds are in huge demand and they are precious, scarce and expensive. Therefore, many other critically ill patients are constantly competing for intensive care beds, and the intensive care team tends to be highly selective about how much treatment they offer to whom in order to keep driving their mainly hidden agenda and occupy their beds in their best interests. Also, the intensive care team's mainly hidden agenda is not only driven by their multi-million dollar per year interests and by their bed management interests, it's also driven by their medical research interests. Medical research attracts multi-million dollar per year funding to intensive care units and is a massive revenue driver and a positioning tool for intensive care units. Medical research is constantly being performed on real human beings and real critically ill patients without them or their families even being aware of it, let alone them having been informed or them having given written or verbal consent. Critically ill patients who fall into a medical research category have a higher chance to get prolonged and best treatment as opposed to critically ill patients where the intensive care team can't perform medical research. For example, if the intensive care team suggests to you in a formal family meeting that a withdrawal of treatment or a limitation of treatment would be, quote unquote, in the best interest of your critically ill loved one, it could well mean that, number one, the intensive care team doesn't want to spend any money and or other resources continuing to treat your critically ill loved one. Or it could mean, number two, in the eyes of the intensive care team, more, quote unquote, viable patients are waiting for a scarce and expensive intensive care bed. Or it could mean, number three, your critically ill loved one doesn't fall into a medical research category and therefore the intensive care team has lost interest in continuing treatment and they want to move on to other patients. The list that I've given you here is not exhaustive and is only a snapshot of what could influence the intensive care team's positioning of your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis. However, the fact of the matter is that the wheels that are in motion in intensive care are so powerful and complex that if you don't embark on the ultimate fast lane to peace of mind, control, power and influence when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care, you will literally have a hard time to have any peace of mind, control, power and influence. And your critically ill loved one's destiny is left in the intensive care team's hands only. The intensive care team will have an easy time to drive home their hidden agenda and the intensive care team can quote unquote sell you on whatever they want without you even realizing that it's happening. So how can you get on the ultimate fast lane to peace of mind, control, power and influence when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? And how can you quickly get peace of mind, control, power and influence when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You get to that all-important feeling of peace of mind, control, power and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn quickly how to get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions. Discover the many competing interests in intensive care and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 killer tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to peace of mind, control, power and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insights so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. And how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's blog, and I'll see you again in another update next week. Make sure you also check out our Your Questions Answered section, where we answer all of your questions, or send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.